What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show, alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. We are one day removed from the devastating loss in Dallas in overtime, 29-23. The Eagles fall to the Cowboys. They are now 6-7. And Gino, I stopped using the playoff machine. My hopes for the postseason this year are pretty much dead, unless they were to take care of the Rams this Sunday night. It's not looking good. I mean, the division's already gone, and a wild card berth, you'd have to get really lucky.
Yeah, the Eagles' playoff hopes are about as well as my voice is right now at the moment. I did a lot of screaming at the division yesterday, but yeah, yesterday just put a cap on it. I mean, from the first play to the last play, it really encapsulated the entire Philadelphia Eagles season in a nutshell. Yeah. I mean, the first play of the game, you get a clear fumble, one of the worst officiating calls I've ever seen in my life. It wasn't clear and concise. Complete garbage. Complete Dallas Cowboys home call. Like, we knew that was going to happen. And then the last play, Rasul plays it perfect, and bounce goes the other team's way. And the thing is, this isn't 2017 anymore. Those bounces aren't going our way. And come to realize that the defending Super Bowl champions are defending no longer, seeing that they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's a tough one to swallow for me, and it's probably why I got so on board with even a late season run to get in, just to get in at the 4 seed or the 6 seed, whatever it was, just because, you know, they're coming off a Super Bowl win and not making the playoffs the year after. I mean, that it's not going to kill, I mean, what this team is trying to build, but it's not very encouraging at all. And that some people were even talking about, it doesn't even really matter if you make the playoffs at this point because the team's just not good enough. But for me, I was still holding out hope. And after that 2-game win streak, I thought they were going to have it. But yeah, that first call was one of the worst. It's probably the worst call I've ever seen when it comes to refereeing in the NFL. I've never seen a call that obvious and they go the other way.
Yeah, I've seen so many different things about it. Cleet Blakeman obviously had no idea what was going on. But the thing that really, like, got my mind in a puzzle was, if you're challenging that it was a fumble and they rule it a fumble, how do you lose a timeout? That didn't make any sense to me.
Oh,
yeah, it makes you think,
true.
Right? Because they ruled it a fumble, but they didn't say there was clear and concise recovery by Philadelphia. So maybe how Doug Peterson worded it when he was bringing it up with Cleet, how he wanted to challenge it, just saying challenge with a fumble with a recovery, or I don't know how it works, the semantics around it. But the rule is that if you can't figure out who has it, that it should go in favor of the team that has, like, the majority around the pile, if
but
I'm not mistaken.
And that's the thing, is, like,
there were five
Eagles,
guys, dude.
And there wasn't a single Cowboy. That's the logic. I want to hear one of the refs in front of a camera try to reasonably explain to me that, how he thought that's not clearly Eagles football.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all. You have to hear Merrill Reese on the call. Like, it's just surreal. Even he doesn't understand it. He said it was one of the worst calls he's ever seen, and Merrill's been calling games for 40-some-odd years, so I believe him. And Mike Quick, he said a legendary quote and said, well, we are in Texas, because who was really surprised that call went the Cowboys' way? I really
wasn't.
They got
calls, and I'm not one of the guys that calls for conspiracies, but Dallas, I think it's been 3 weeks straight, has gotten the good end of some terrible calls by the refs.
Yes.
And I'm not one that calls for it.
That's how it's been forever. It's the Dallas Cowboys. There was one thing I saw that they've completed like 49% of the challenges, like, have gone in their favor, which is like a 1 out of 4,021 odds, which is just surreal, and it makes you think that it definitely could be a conspiracy theory. But I've known this about the Cowboys forever. When they played that game against Detroit in the playoffs, when there was a clear pass interference call, they didn't get that call. I mean, I thought the Dez call was going to go their way. When we played them in 2016, Jason Witten pushed off in overtime. I'll take that to my deathbed. I told that to Marcus Mosier the other day on the crossover pod. Like, it was a clear push off. And yesterday, I mean, you get that call, and then Dez's call, who has the best single play of the Eagles season, you would say. Probably was a season-altering play if they would have had it with 3.5 minutes left in a tie ball game. There's no helmet-to-helmet, and they called the worst offensive pass interference call ever. So two of the worst calls in one game can't distract you from the fact that the Eagles shot themselves in the foot like they did all year long. Like, I'm not going to blame it solely on the refs, though they did have a presence in that game. The Eagles really did it to themselves in the first half, and it was the story of what we've seen all year. They started out slow. They abandoned the run game when they were only down 3-0. They were throwing the ball like it was 45-0 at half when it was 3-0.
That's the problem. He gets too, when they don't average 7 yards carry, he gets too antsy. And even if they were to, so on first down, Josh Adams will have a 2-yard run. And then even if the Eagles end up moving the chains with the pass, a lot of the time he doesn't go back to it. And it's like, there's no patience with the run game.
No, and this game really reminded me of that Kansas City game last year when they ran it, what, like 3 times the whole game, and then they just got away from it. Like, Josh Adams had a hell of a run. He was patient. He broke off that 24-yard scamper, and then we just put Darren Sproles in the game, which I had no problem with. But then when I saw Wendell Smallwood enter the game, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. They just wanted to lose at that point. That one play when it was 3rd and short, Wendell Smallwood is out in the slot, and Golden Tate isn't even on the field. One, Wendell Smallwood hasn't touched the ball since week freaking 11. Two, Golden Tate, you just traded a third-round pick for him, and that's a complete bust at this point.
He ends up playing 38% of the snaps yesterday.
That's atrocious. You just can't let that happen. And then Josh Adams just isn't in the ballgame on a third and short situation when he's been the best back all year. And Adam Kaplan even said it, that Dallas executives were terrified of him. They were terrified that he was going to get on the field. So what a better way than to play right into the opponent's hand than take the scariest weapon off of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's the blame game day, and it's going to be pretty much like that all offseason when we're talking about who's responsible for this Eagles season. And, you know, we've seen a lot of it on the defense. We've seen a lot of it on Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. And that's really what I want to get into here in this first segment is, I've been seeing a mixed bag today when it comes to the confidence in the head coach and the quarterback. Because, look, those two are a major reason the Eagles lost that football game yesterday. I don't know who that was wearing number 11 those first 3 quarters. That was apparently Carson Wentz, but it did not look like him. And he started off slow a lot of the time this year, but that was the worst I've seen it. So my question to you, Gino, and I put it up on a poll on Twitter, @DiBiaseLOE, do you still have confidence in Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz as the faces of the Eagles? And this isn't something that I have any doubt in for me, but I just want to get the sense of how fans are feeling right now. And of course, this is the peak of overreaction theater because the season's basically, it just ended essentially. 68% though still say they're still confident. 32% though say skeptical. Nobody said they've lost their confidence in both the head coach and quarterback, but 32% are skeptical. I think even that's still a little high, Gino. I understand that both of them have had their setbacks this year, but to me, with Carson Wentz coming off the injury he has, to still perform the way he has this year, when you look at his numbers, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 70% completion percentage, he's the 7th best passer rating in the NFL at 102.2. I mean, for me, that shows to me that this is a guy that's having a down year and is still posting those numbers. I can't believe that people are going to the extremes that they... I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, it's Eagles Twitter, but people are taking it to some extreme lengths.
So your question was, do I still have confidence in Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson?
Yeah, what's your feeling with the two?
The answer to that question is yes. We can move on to the next segment. I'm not going to answer any more questions. You know why I'm here. I'm just here so I'm not get fined. Like, that's what it is. No, in all reality, where have we come to? I mean, I've been a fan since 2001. I've lived through some excruciating years, like the Dream Team year, the 2016. I saw Donovan McNabb tear his ACL live in my first game ever. We are at a point where we have a coach that won the Super Bowl in his second season with a quarterback who last year at this time was in the MVP running against a guy, you know, who we beat in the Super Bowl named Tom Brady. I just want to point this little stat out to you right now from Ruben Frank at NBC Sports Philly. It says only 9 quarterbacks in NFL history have completed 69% of their passes and averaged 7.7 yards per attempt while throwing at least 20 touchdowns. Carson is currently on pace to be the 10th. Let that settle in. Carson Wentz is less than a year removed from an ACL surgery, which many people say that he isn't fully healed from.
I know he's not, you talked to Doc. If you look at him, he's not.
Clearly not. And you talked to Dr. Rand this offseason, and he said that could be a 12-month injury. So he's coming out on the biggest stage in the one sport that has the most per capita condensed amount of individuals that play the sport and are so good at what they do, that he is going out there and doing things that are just unheralded in a season where he's coming off an ACL tear. Has the play calling been as good as it was last year? No. Has the play design been as good as it's been last year? No. Has Carson Wentz been as good as he's been last year? No. Has Doug Peterson been as good as he was last year? No. But to think that this team, this fan base, not the team because they clearly know what they're doing, this fan base wants to write them off. When we gave Andy Reid how many years, how many mistakes did Andy Reid make, and we just allowed it to happen because he had success. So Doug Peterson wins a Super Bowl, something that's never happened in the franchise, and we're going to write him off, not even 8 months later? Like, come on, people. Like, get it together. Like, Doug Peterson is who Doug Peterson is. You can go back to the days when he was in Kansas City. Look at the second half of play calling that he had. Was it good? Yes. Was it over the top, like next level Sean McVay? Absolutely not. Does he need great minds around him? Absolutely. So you could point to Mike Groh and Press Taylor. Has Carson Wentz set back a little bit in his mechanics? Yes, he has. One, because of the injury. Two, because I don't think Press Taylor is doing the job that he should be doing.
Right, he doesn't have John DeFilippo to push him, and that's why I'm still confident in Wentz, is that this is a down year because of the injury, because of the coaching staff failing him, because of his own issues. I feel like it's a confidence thing too. He doesn't have the confidence in his leg, so I feel like I don't see that command on the field, that oozing confidence that he's got this all under control, that he's reading the defense, that he is fully confident in all of his capabilities on the field. And I feel like that's resulting in maybe some of the setbacks, going back to some tendencies he used to in North Dakota and in his rookie year.
And he wants to play hero ball because that's who Carson is. And he knew that all the pressure in the world was going to be on him. And I thought that was probably the worst case scenario for him, because we know how Carson is when he gets pressured. He presses the ball. You need to get him in a rhythm. As a coach, as Doug Peterson, you need to get him in a rhythm. Okay, Zach Ertz isn't working. Do we have other weapons? Absolutely. Get into a rhythm with Alshon Jeffrey on some quick slants. Get Nelson Agholor open across the middle, which you did plenty of times last year with a bunch of mesh sits. Give Jedham the ball more than 7 times. Golden Tate, hey, you know, he's a football player and he's pretty good. Like, get him the ball. Like, I don't blame Carson as much as many people should be for yesterday's performance, because I think a lot of it was on the play calling. Like, where are you going? Short side speed option. I said it to my dad. I was sitting on the couch. I go, they're going to run a speed option. I thought it was going to be to the weak side where they had the opening in the field, but you run it to the short side on a team whose linebackers run 4.4, close to sub 4.3s. Like,
and you're doing that too with Wentz not fully able to make the cuts, and he does not have the speed that he had last year. He still has escapability, but you can tell that he does not have the explosion, and that's on Doug Peterson. Is when you're in those third down situations, why also in on a goal line situation they dialed up a read option? I don't understand. Sometimes Doug Peterson's third down play calling has been suspect, and we are definitely missing Frank Reich and just the entire collaboration of offensive coaches to help check him, because right now I feel like it's just all Peterson, and that a lot of that's on Groh and on Press Taylor as well. But it stinks too, because he's coming off, this was a year where the Eagles had a lot of turnover in the coaching staff, and it was Peterson, he's the guy that's got to really get everything back under control, and it was a big transition for him, I'm sure, being without John DeFilippo and Frank Wright, and, you know, the timing of winning the Super Bowl on a short offseason, I'm sure didn't help him do that, but that was a thing, too, that to me is a factor, is the short offseason and the change in coaching staff. And I think you're seeing that affecting Doug Peterson as a play caller and just as a head coach. And that's why, to me, though, I think an offseason is going to do so much good for Wentz and Peterson, not only for health, but for the things I was just talking about. Because, again, Peterson's going on book tours, and meanwhile, he's got all this change that he's got to work with on offense and on top of all the injuries, and that's what we're getting right now. So I don't think there should be any doubt still in those two guys. Do they deserve a lot of the blame from yesterday? 100%. I think we're talking about the overusage of Zach Ertz. Some of that's on Wentz, but you're right, man. Like, last year, we saw a lot of things schemed for Alshon Jeffrey to get open down the field or for Nelson Agholor across the middle. And we've seen it sometimes with Dallas Goedert this year, but even Goedert has been underutilized to an extreme amount this year. I mean, that guy, honestly, that touchdown that was called back, I'm kind of over the flag part because the refs kind of made up for it with all the makeup calls. But the part I was most excited about that was Goddard ripping off that run after the catch. I mean, he looks like Travis Kelce running out there. They got to scheme more for all those other guys, too. And you're right, that's on Peterson.
I think we are just living in the alternate reality Chip Kelly right now. Because when we had Chip, it was scheme beats talent.
Right.
And we found that not to be true. Now we're at talent beats scheme, which is also not true. 2017 was a mix of both of those.
Right.
I'm watching the All-22 currently studying Justin Coleman of the Seahawks, and I'm watching the game against the Eagles last year. And one play that you saw all year last year was that mesh concept where Nelson Agholor would break from the left side of the field and end up about 25 yards downfield on the complete opposite hash on the right side of the field, and he was wide open, and you see that every time. And now you don't see that anymore. You're not seeing these unique play designs like you did, and you could see those in Frank Reich's offense with Andrew Luck. You could see them up in Minnesota with John DeFilippo. My biggest thing is that, yes, I'm putting blame on Mike Groh. Like, I'll just say it. Like, I don't think Mike Groh is a good offensive coordinator. Like, I've never been the biggest Mike Groh fan. Like, yes, he did well. But after I saw his first press conference and he didn't want to get into questions and like semantics of what his job was, like, it really put a bad taste in my mouth. And ever since then, like, I do think it's his fault and Press Taylor as well. But this team needs to go outside of the organization this summer and get somebody to bring in to help Doug Peterson and scheme these guys.
Do you think they fire Mike Groh, or is it that they bring in someone else on the staff?
You can't have another guy to try and tell Mike Groh what to do. Like, you could just tell from his personality, like,
yeah,
I don't want to insinuate things, but like, you could just tell from like all his press conferences that it's either his way or the highway. I feel a lot like Jim Schwartz, and you need to challenge these guys, you know. Like, why did Steve Jobs invent the Macintosh computer? Because he wanted to challenge the way things were. And that's how good football teams are made. Sean McVay, he challenged the entire NFL to change how it works. Look at Andy Reid, a guy that was so set in his ways, is now one of the most innovative coaches in football. You either adapt or you die. Like, yep. That's just basic Darwinism. And
we saw
team,
that with Chip Kelly, and we're seeing that a lot with the Birds this year.
Yeah, and you saw it this time last year. When was Chip's most successful season?
2013, when it was all new.
Yep. When was Doug Peterson's best season so far?
2017.
When he implemented all those RPOs that really overtook the NFL.
Right, RPO
nobody
was
really
kind of like, you looked at 2012 was kind of the year of the read option with RG3 and Kaepernick and those guys. Last year was really the year of the RPO, and that was, you're right, created by the Eagles.
So what are teams going to do when they find out what is going well? They're going to knock it off.
Yep.
They're going to try to copy it, and they're going to try to defend it. Like, it's just basic human nature. And they have to bring somebody in that is going to question what is going on in this building, because this team is so set in their ways, and you could see it. Like, things are getting so predictable in play calling. Like, I'm not huge on understanding schemes. Like, I don't really know the X's and O's, like, to a total complete standpoint as some Eagles beat writers do. But, like, when you see them lined up in shotgun on third and two with, like, the outside wide receivers clearly in there to block, like, you know it's going to be an option. Like, how many times have they ran inside zone? You know it's going to come. How many times has Zach Ertz ran a comeback route? How many times has Nelson, that would be a hell of a player.
That would be
those
a hell of a
two. But how many times have you seen Alshon on a quick slant? Like, they know those plays are coming. Like, get more innovative. Right now, talent-wise, you have one of the top three offensive rosters in football from your offensive line, your quarterback, your wide receivers, and your tight ends. Like, there is no reason that this team shouldn't be able to put up 35 points a game, and yet here we are because the scheme clearly is not working. The talent, just, you can't overcome scheme, like, especially against the Dallas Cowboys team whose defense is just so god dang fast. Like, you're not going to beat them solely on the same routes you've done all year, week in and week out, and it's time to move on and figure something out. Yes, I believe in Carson. Yes, I believe in Doug. Do I believe in the pieces that are around them? That's where I find things that are in question right now.
Yeah, I think, and you're right. I mean, this offense is deep, and they should be putting up the points. But I think that's part of the slow starts right now is the scheme, because those scripted first 15 plays, that's really where the coaches got to make their money. And I think it's an interesting point of bringing someone in and challenging the way the Eagles are doing things right now. But I also want my head coach year after year to be open to doing that. You know, this yes. offseason, it should have just been for Peterson. He's got to know in the NFL, okay, RPOs, what we did last year, it's not going to have the same amount of success as it did last year, knowing how NFL defenses adjust. We've seen it every single fad in the NFL. It's really been the same way. And to me, that's on Doug, because he's still, remember, a young head coach. I mean, this is a guy only in his third year. And Carson Wentz, too, they raised the bar so high last year that the expectations have changed. But this is still on him to grow. And I think he's got to look in the mirror and he's got to question the way he's doing things as well. Because we don't hear with Sean McVay, it's really all about Sean McVay. I mean, I haven't heard a lot of things about the coordinators or with Andy Reid and with Matt Nagy right now in Chicago. So this is a head coach that, look, like Bill Belichick, if you have success as a team and as a head coach, you're going to have different coordinators every single year. We shouldn't have to rely on those coordinators each year coming in and challenging you. You got to be open to doing that to yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And you see that just not in sports, but in business. I work at a startup company right now, and we're bringing in people from outside companies to come in and help us figure out what we are doing wrong and what we can do better. Because that's just how it is. Like, if you don't have the mindset to want to change, you are not going to change unless change is forced upon you. And sometimes you are forced to change. And there's no better way to figure out that you need to change than doing something you did the last year and it not being successful. If they go into this offseason and they come out the first week and they're still running the same basic concepts they've ran all year long, there's a bigger issue that
that's
you can
when
rely
I'll be concerned
on Doug
about
Peterson.
Head coaching. Yeah, that's 100%. When I'll be concerned. But
if you go out into the offseason and Carson Wentz is just chucking balls to Nelson Agholor, who's wide open down the field, and you have Zach Ertz running his intermediate routes and drawing coverages and doing rubs and mesh sits and getting guys open with as much talent as you can, you're going to know it was Mike Grow. And I think a good hashtag for this episode that you said, Doug Peterson must continue to grow. How about hashtag grow without grow? I'm all for it.
That's
I
awesome.
Want Doug Mike Grow gone.
I'm with you. And look, we're going to get into stock up, stock down, and some of those guys are going to be in my stock down segment. But, you know, just a little preview right now. I mean, I think Deuce Staley is another guy, too, that when he's one of your main offensive voices right now, I'm kind of concerned about that. But, yeah, I think next year is the year it's really a big one for Doug Peterson. Okay, you didn't, you know, in 2018, things caught up to you. Now how do you adjust? And, you know, that, and same on Carson Wentz. I think the health, and there's things he needs to work on as well, but there's no way I have any doubt that he's still the franchise quarterback. Like, he has started off slow, but I'm still seeing what he did in the fourth quarter yesterday, and that guy still has takeover ability, and he's grown in the fourth quarter. I mean, we've seen from 2016 to last year to this year, his fourth quarter performances have gotten better every year, and I see that, and I'm thinking to myself, with the injury, if he can put together all four quarters of that, we have, again, an elite quarterback. So I have more confidence right now in Wentz than Peterson, but I still am very confident in the both of them, and I think a lot of it has to do with the surrounding factors with those two. Let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, we got Stock Up, Stock Down, our weekly segment here on the podcast. Gino got Stock Up. Or on the second segment, excuse me, and then on the third segment, I will have Stock Down. So we'll get into that and talk a little bit more about some of these players that we should be feeling good about right now in coaches and some of the players and coaches that we shouldn't be feeling as good about. This is the Lockdown Eagles podcast. What's up, Eagles fans? It's Louis DiBiase again from Lockdown Eagles. This Sunday, the Eagles have a huge showdown with the Los Angeles Rams. This single game will go a long way to clearing up the playoff picture, really, if the Eagles lose this one. Don't even hope for a wild card at this point, and it could go a long way for you to win huge cash prizes. Single game fantasy football is the newest way to play at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you've been thinking about trying DraftKings, now's the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft six players from the Eagles-Rams game, one captain, and you have five other players. So you get a captain and five other players, your captain will earn 1.5 times the points. Go for value with a guy like maybe Nelson Aguilar. Or, since, I mean, Carson Wentz really hasn't targeted him that much, maybe go for Golden Tate or Zach Ertz. It's that simple. Six players for one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, no spaces, to enter a single-game fantasy football contest for free this week with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. And guys, I'm going to tweet out the link as well on our Twitter accounts, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino underscore LOE. So for Thursday night, we'll have some competitions. And then that Sunday, big game on Sunday Night Football between the Eagles and the Rams. We thank DraftKings for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, segment two of this Monday edition, one day after the Eagles fall, 29-23 in overtime to the Cowboys. Another heartbreaking overtime loss that I'm sure, Gino, in the next year or two we'll be talking about when we go back and talk about some of the best games in Eagles-Cowboys history and some of the worst. This will be one of the ones that stings for a while. But we got our stock up, stock down segment. You're starting with stock up. Who are some guys that made you feel better about their situation and the team down the road after yesterday's game?
I don't know if you were reading my mind before you exited that last segment, but fourth quarter or clutch Carson is who I'd say is on my stock up.
Because, his alter ego.
Yeah, literally. When he comes out, when he takes off the Clark Kent mask and puts on the Superman mask, there's nobody better. Like, that throw to Nelson Aguilar, oh my goodness.
It was beautiful.
That was beautiful. That you couldn't have placed that any better. And just imagine if he did that for four quarters, like how beautiful it would be and how just in sync he is with his guys when he gets rolling. And he left the field two times when needing a score to tie the game. And what did he do? He did exactly that. So I don't really think anything can be said about that. That narrative needs to be put to bed. And that's clutch Carson. First through third quarter Carson, we can question that, but in regards to the fourth quarter, when he needs to get something done, he will get it done, and he will put the team on his back like a true franchise quarterback does. And just imagine if they won that game. We'd be praising Carson Wentz for everything that he did and saying that he is a true franchise quarterback. Just remember, people, winning and losing change narratives drastically.
100%, absolutely. Who's another guy to you that made you feel better after yesterday's game?
Still going to owe you a beer, but man,
yeah, let's go.
I was screaming it in my living room when he had that pick yesterday. That's the role that Douglas needs to play, man. He's good in that regard. The last play, like, you have to absolutely hate that happened to him because he had a great game. You see how much that meant to him. But the thing is, he's going to get back up. Like, he's a young JUCO kid. Like, he never really had anything. You hear those stories about how he had to walk to McDonald's and split the dollar menu throughout his lunch and dinner. Like, he is a resilient kid. I give him all the power in the world for the performance that he came out and gave yesterday when you're throwing out Devontae Bowsby after Sidney Jones is hurt and Craven LeBlanc wasn't having a great game. And to play, what, 99 snaps? Man, that's one of the – it's crazy. Just think about that. Like, they played two full games. And he went out there and battled Amari Cooper all game long and did well.
Yeah, and I used to think Chip Kelly's defense has played a lot, but yesterday was just ridiculous. And for Douglas, it was, again, heartbreaking because he played that slant on Cooper perfectly, and he tipped the ball up. It just, of course, has the most 2018 Eagles bounce sitting up in the air. It seemed like forever until it nestled right into Amari Cooper's chest. But it was funny how people know what a big Rasul Douglas guy I am now, Gino, because the minute he picked off that ball, my phone instantly blew up for like 2 minutes straight. So, but yeah,
what happens when your brand's doing hot, man?
That's true. And I've been taking some hits with him the past few weeks, but really the last two games, he has been really strong. Not only that interception, you see that playmaking ability that not a lot of other people on this Eagles defense has. They've been starving for that all year. But that the closing in on tackles in the open field, that is something he struggled with the last game against Dallas, and you've seen the growth. And that's what I've been saying, is just give this kid some time. You know, he struggled in the game against Amari Cooper and the Cowboys the last time, and then against Michael Thomas and the Saints. But this kid's been sitting on the bench for the majority of the season. Let him get going, get him into a rhythm. He's a young guy. Get him some more experience this season. Get his feet underneath him, and now he's been playing really well. And again, it stinks for him that it had to happen that way. Who's one more guy to you that made you feel good last night?
I can't pick just one of these three gentlemen, but the defensive line, for everybody that wasn't named Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett, or Brandon Graham, because those three did exactly what your veteran defensive linemen need to do. Fletcher Cox on the last play of regulation was not letting a single human being on the face of planet Earth stop him from getting to Dak Prescott. He was a $100 million man yesterday. Michael Bennett is the single-handed best pickup that Howie Roseman has ever had in his 10 years as a Philadelphia.
We got a guy that's got, what, 8 sacks now?
I tweeted it yesterday that if he should be on this team, not just next year, but for at least 2 to 3 more years, because at the rate he's playing, he is not slowing down, and he's in excellent shape. And same thing with Brandon Graham. Like, once these guys are healthy, they are unstoppable. And those three played an unbelievable game. Like, if Tim Jernigan is in that game, I think they win it, and I don't even think it's close.
And it's part of why, to me, I want Graham back next year, is because I'm seeing a guy that's a couple years older and Michael Bennett still producing at the level he is.
Absolutely, and I saw on a spot, one gentleman from Spot Track, I can't name off the top of my head who it was, but he said a Brandon Graham contract could look anywhere from 3 years over $8 million.
Which is fine, I'll take that.
More than okay with me.
Yeah.
I thought he's going to be seeking something way bigger, which maybe he might be, who knows, but if you can get him back, especially to continue to groom a young unit with Derek Barnett and Josh Sweat, and hopefully they bring in another piece in this draft because it's loaded with edge and defensive line talent, they could be a formidable force. But the thing is, you can't play Fletcher Cox 100 snaps a game, so you got to have him, get him some help. But those three guys, they played the best game I think I've seen all season out of the defensive line.
Yeah, I was getting nightmares back to the 2013 wild card game when the Saints were driving down the field, and there's nothing you can do. You know they're going to kick the field goal to win the game. And it kind of felt like that against the Cowboys yesterday because their kicker hit a 62-yarder at the end of the half. And that sack, though, was just the most clutch thing I've ever seen Fletcher Cox do. I mean, in the Super Bowl last year, he was big late getting after Tom Brady. But, I mean, that sack was, especially with all, like you said, he played 2 games worth of snaps. And yet he still comes up with that sack in the most crucial moment as time expires to force the game into overtime. Hats off to that entire defensive line. Let's take one final break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and I'll get into my stock down segment. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri hosting the Locked On Eagles podcast today. As always, today is Monday, December 10th, so we did stock up, feeling a little bit good about getting some positives in that heartbreaking loss to the Cowboys yesterday, 29-23, but now it's my turn to be the black cloud. It was Gino's turn last week, now it's my turn. So a couple guys I'm going to start with, and it's two coaches, and you mentioned one, and we got to get that hashtag going, Gino. Hashtag grow without grow. And Mike Rowe is number one, and Deuce Staley is number two for me, because I don't know whose decision it was. You mentioned it early in the show.
Don't say his name.
Okay, I'll say whoever's decision it was to put in that former fifth-round pick out of West Virginia, the running back that continues to get beat by undrafted free agents.
Thanks.
who just
signed a guy, Boston Scott, and he probably will have more snaps than Wendell Smallwood. So.
Right. So that guy was playing in a crucial, the most important game of the season. Probably it's the most impactful loss the Eagles have had probably in 5 years. You have that kind of game right now on the line. You're on the goal line trying to tie this football game up. You have a player in Golden Tate that can play inside in red zone situations that you traded a third-round pick for, and you call Wendell Smallwood in motion and put him lined up as a receiver. And also the other play where they asked Carson Wentz if he checked it to a run to Wendell Smallwood, and he said no, that was the play
called run inside the red zone. Oh, my God.
So, and these are, we went from John DeFilippo and Frank Wright being Doug Peterson's right-hand men to Deuce Staley and Mike Rowe. And like you said, something has to change with that. And a lot of it, again, like I said, is on Peterson growing himself, testing himself next offseason. But he needs some fresh minds in there right now. And Mike Rowe and Deuce Staley not getting it done. So their stock is down. A couple other guys on the defensive side. Because yesterday I wasn't going to go out to the defense. I thought their effort with the amount, I mean, the Cowboys had over 40 minutes time of possession. It was unbelievable the amount of work the defense put in.
Fifth most plays ran in NFL history.
It's unbelievable. But Corey Graham, I'm telling you, Devontae Bosby's going to get the heat. Devontae Bosby's going to get the heat for that one of the Cooper touchdowns because it looked like he gave up on the go route. Corey Graham was supposed to be over top, and Corey Graham has cost the Eagles so many key plays this year that it's nuts. And honestly, I appreciate Roddy McLeod so much more after this season. I feel like he was one of the unsung heroes last year, and he's just been this solid presence at safety the past couple years. Because we talk about Malcolm Jenkins. He's a leader. He's a big name around the NFL. He plays all over the field, and he makes big plays. But Corey Graham is making me love Roddy McLeod so much more. And even Avante Maddox. Like, I appreciate Avante Maddox even more now.
You knew that Amari Cooper was ripping up your secondary all day. Sidney Jones comes out injured, and you put Devontae Bosby in fresh. Where do you think they're going with the football? Corey Graham, who's a two-time Super Bowl champion, which absolutely is completely mind-boggling.
Right, it's all mental
stuff.
Do you
think they're not going to take him down the field and try for him? That's what they were doing the whole time. Like, it was not going anywhere. Dak gets locked in on his first reads. You knew he was going to him, and yet you take one of the worst angles I've ever seen a safety take on a – you could have just easily pushed him out of bounds, but no, he just takes it to the house because Corey Graham doesn't know how to play safety, and he's been in the league for over 10 years. So
yeah, that's the worst part
that.
Is it's just mental, and he's the veteran. He's one of the oldest players on the team. I mean, you cannot have that happen. So Corey Graham, your stock is plummeting. And
does
our final
he have
one,
any more stock?
No, like, his stock is basically This was the last one. He probably won't even be on the list the next 3 weeks. And then our final guy, and it's not. I don't want to put his stock down. It's really this is more so the perception of him today is making his stock go down, and it's
don't
Sidney
you
Jones.
Say it.
I'm sorry. And it's not because it's not something I believe because I look, Sidney Jones has 4.4 speed. I know Darby's the guy that gets talked up for his speed as a corner, but Sidney Jones has CB1 speed as well. And when Amari Cooper's blowing him out of the water, you know that's an injury thing. But because it seems like Eagles Twitter loves to overreact when it comes to corners, and I know, look, I understand who hurt you all, because they hurt me too. Bradley Fletcher, Kerry Williams, Byron Maxwell, Leotis McKelvin, these guys all did a number on you fans out there, and I understand it. But public enemy number one, it seems like, is always the corner that gets beat that week. It was Jalen Mills early on in the season, then it was Rasul Douglas, and now it's Sidney Jones. And to me, Jones had a hamstring injury, and look, he already has soft tissue issues. Nice soft tissue issues that rhymes. Shout out to me. But you already have that problem, and a hamstring injury lingers a long time. Just look at Minnesota with Dalvin Cook right now. It took him pretty much the entire season, up until the past couple weeks, for him to really get his legs underneath him and to use that explosive ability. Another 2017 draft pick in the second round that almost was an Eagle instead of Sidney Jones, and Sidney Jones has the same issue right now. It's going to take him a while to fully heal that injury. So Sidney Jones' stock's down because he got burned yesterday by Amari Cooper. But like you said before the show, Amari Cooper is one of the best route runners in the league right now. And Sidney Jones can't really use the full strength of his legs right now. I mean, what do you expect's going to happen? This is also on Jim Schwartz, man. This is part of why it drives me nuts that he doesn't rotate his corners. Because you know Amari Cooper's just going to stay on the right side of the field, and you're not pushing Rasul Douglas on that side. It didn't make any sense to me. And for it, now Sidney Jones is public enemy number one, and people are calling him a bust already, which is just simply not true. Before this game, the most yards Sidney Jones gave up in a game was 53 coming his way. Everything else was under 50. Those first six games when he was starting in the slot, it was Patrick Robinson who, because he was playing really sound.
Yeah, it's recency bias. That's all it is. I mean, 100%, you think 100%. It's some of the worst. What'd you say?
No, I was just saying 100%.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 1 second, like I was saying something
wrong about him.
Apologize, everybody. But no. It's recency bias, and I mean, you think of some of the worst games in recent memory for Eagles cornerbacks. You have to think of Eric Rowe on Thanksgiving against Kelvin Johnson, and you have to think about Leotis McKelvin and the infamous hamstring game. I know many people won't remember it, but there is a game where Leotis McKelvin trailed every single wide receiver he tracked because he had a hamstring injury and because he kind of stunk. But hamstrings are the one injury as a corner where you need elite straight line speed to keep up with these wide receivers that you can't afford. And a guy who's coming off a major injury, you know how the body reacts. It makes up for one injury in another place. And look at Jason Peters. That's been his thing that's hampered him his whole career. So for Jim Schwartz not to recognize that is one thing. But for everybody writing off Sidney Jones, you guys are just box score scouts. And it's just sad because this kid was the most heralded cornerback prospect outside of Marshawn Lattimore, and some experts even had him pegged as a better corner than Marshawn Lattimore.
Right, it shouldn't be a thing about talent. It shouldn't be a thing about talent, it should be a thing about health. No. That's, if you're concerned, it should be about, can this guy ever stay healthy? I understand that, but the talent thing, the performance-wise, I mean, come on.
Oh, I agree 100%. He ran a 4.4. He was going to be picked in the first round before he got injured. He was an unbelievable prospect out of Washington. He has all the traits, rare traits from a corner in his hip fluidity, his hip speed, his ability to play and press man coverage. If he bulks up maybe 5 to 10 pounds, he's going to be an elite cornerback. I have no doubt in my mind. But right now, playing on a hamstring injury against one of the best route runners in the NFL at this current point in time, it just doesn't add up. Yes, I'm down on him. He is my brand. I've been a big, big Sidney Jones fan forever. My one good buddy who I text every Sunday, I told him about this new kid, Byron Murphy, coming out of Washington this year in the draft. And I said, I want him. He's a corner too. And he goes, man, what is your thing with these Washington corners? I go, they're just coached very well. And
I think
they have
people
very
don't like
sound
him.
Technique.
I think people don't like him too because he went to Washington and Markelle Fultz went to Washington.
Yeah, it's a bad Philly taste in mouth, but just like Carson Wentz, just like Doug Peterson, the sun will come up. We have something that we haven't had in decades, in a franchise quarterback, in a franchise head coach, a potentially a CB1 who could be one of the best ever if he puts his skills, his mental capacity, and bulks up a couple pounds. He could be one of the great Philly cornerbacks, so people just need to relax. Yes, there is a lot of blame to go around, but I tweeted it today that there is not a single part of this team from Donnell Pumphrey on the practice squad all the way up to Howie Roseman that cannot be blamed for the way that this season has gone. So stop playing the blame game. Everybody has to take the blame, and that's just the reality of it right now. Yes, everybody's going to have a bad taste in their mouth, but understand we've seen worse seasons. We've seen worse personnel scenarios. We've seen worse coaching scenarios. Things will be all right. Give this team a good offseason, draft well, get healthy, bring in another couple offensive minds, a couple free agents, and things will be okay. The New England Patriots went, 9-7 or 7-9 the year after they won the Super Bowl, yep. And now look at them. They're a dynasty. So Rome wasn't built in a day, as the old adage goes, so everybody just relax. These Eagles will fly high once again very soon.
You made me feel better, Gino, with that, and I think that's a good way to end the show. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, Monday, December 10th edition. Thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. We appreciate all the listener feedback in the States and across the globe. Eagles Nation spreads out all across planet Earth, and we appreciate everyone for listening. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Louie DiBiase signing off. Follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and at Locked On Birds. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.